My reading today was compiled with passages taken from sermons and writings by the following UU ministers and student ministers: Reverend Fred Small, Matthew McHale, and Tim DeChristopher. Last spring, I received a news release from the regional communications director of a mainline Christian denomination announcing the blessing of the Priuses at a downtown Boston church. Prius owners in the Boston area, the release said, are invited to drive by so their environmentally sensitive vehicles can be blessed. The blessing celebration will be followed by the running of the Priuses, where SUV drivers will be encouraged to run on foot in front of the herd of just blessed vehicles. 51 minutes later, I received a second email with the subject line, "Cancel email regarding Prius." "I'm afraid I was taken as part of an April Fool's joke," the communications director confessed. "The Prius story is a fake. My apologies. Ironically, it sounded like something we would do." Something we would do? Giving her the benefit of the doubt, I'll assume the communications director meant the blessing of the Priuses rather than the running down of the SUV drivers. In either event, it's a sad commentary on the religious response so far to the ecological crisis. In the face of threats to human survival unprecedented in history, many religious leaders and organizations are responding with utterances of sincere concern, installing compact fluorescent light bulbs and exhorting their followers to recycle. It's as if after Bloody Sunday in Selma in 1965, when Martin Luther King Jr. issued his national call to clergy to join him and march together from Selma to Montgomery in the teeth of the Ku Klux Klan and brutal police, we'd said, "Martin, racism is a terrible sin, but we're awfully busy right now. So we pledge personally not to discriminate against a Negro. In fact, we'll invite one to lunch any day now." Tim DeChristopher, a Unitarian Universalist activist, became a hero in the environmental movement after he decided to take action. He successfully prevented over 100,000 acres of federal land from being leased for oil and gas drilling by outbidding his competition at an auction of land leases. Since he had no money to support his bids, Tim spent 2 years in prison for his act of civil disobedience. Tim is currently a student at Harvard Divinity School studying to be a UU minister who recently said this about the climate crisis we are facing. "There has not been nearly enough discussion about what it means to engage with this moral challenge. We have not yet answered how and where we should be taking our stand in response to climate change. As a veteran of the climate movement, I suggest that we don't need religious communities merely to join the climate movement. We need religious communities to lead, challenge, and deepen the climate movement. And there is perhaps no religious community better suited to respond to these global crises and help bring about the world we want to create than Unitarian Universalists. We have a long and profound legacy of justice work to ground and inspire us. We have theologies that uphold our interconnectedness with all of creation. We have the ability to work effectively in multi-religious and secular settings. And crucially, we have community in which we can begin to model the type of future we want to create."
It's my turn.
Hello, siblings. It's kind of scary being up here. It's not something I do every day, but there couldn't be a more beautiful group of people to work on my fear with, so thank you. The world's kind of a scary time. Most of us know that we have got to get to work and we've got to do it soon. The window of opportunity is closing rather rapidly. And there are great signs of hope. People are waking up. There is a great turning happening. And I believe that it will be unity. It will be seeing ourselves inside of the interconnected web of life that will make this all possible just in time. And we as Unitarian Universalists, we know about unity, about inclusivity, about welcoming all to the welcome table. So I'm really honored to be with you, beloved community. We are being called by Unitarian Universalism to respond to this crisis. It's a crisis that if we don't respond to, well, we don't even want to think about that, really. We just have to respond. So in a little while, we're going to give you all a chance to come together and talk about how you might want to respond. What's your next step? I think the path to sustainability is a series of steps. Today you wash out the plastic bag. Tomorrow you unplug your cell phone charger for the day. And eventually maybe you testify before Congress or start a group in your neighborhood or, you know. But what's your next step is going to be a question. And what steps do you want to see this congregation take? Because I believe that this beloved community is already really, and will be an increasing force for the great turning that Joanna Macy speaks of. So last week we heard from a spoken word artist, Christopher Sims. We were so blessed with his presence in our congregation, and it inspired me to give my... I've played with words a little bit. I don't pretend to be quite a talented poet, but I did feel inspired to try again. And so I wrote a little spoken word piece that I'd like to share in it. And after each section, I'm going to ask you to repeat it if you feel so moved. I'll put my finger up when I'm saying the words that I'd like you to repeat. So there are four sections. The last line of the four sections, I'll put my finger up, and you can repeat that back if you feel so moved. Here in the 11th hour, we stand together by rising seas, resisting greed and corporate power. We the people stand for peace. All are one, and each is all. Hear our mother, hear her call. Hear our mother, hear her call. We're finding ways to make it fun, standing strong and being kind. We've always been. We are all one. Justice is the truth we find. So make a plan and unite behind it. Plant a seed, let water find it. Plant a seed, let water find it. We're building bridges from the rubble. With understanding, we can heal. We can ease the pain and the trouble with loving hearts that truly feel. Persist in practice, accept with grace. Free at last, no time to waste. Free at last, no time to waste. Finding hope in every breath, let's feed the fire with every lung and burn away the stench of death as freedom's bell is slowly rung, ringing in each open ear, felt inside every bone. Shout out loud and sing it clear. The time is now to save our home.
The time is now to save our home.
Thank you for responding. Every response, every single response is sacred. And so I ask you to think in your own hearts, what response are you willing to take? Will you join the PJs? Will you start recycling? Most of you, I'm sure, already recycle. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But at any rate, we know we have a lot of work to do. And what I'd like to share with you in just this next little phase, before I give you an opportunity to speak amongst yourselves, is are four of the responses that I've chosen to take within this congregation. With the support of this beloved community, there are four areas I'm working on, and they are: one, sustainable Saturday night. We want to make it fun. We want to build a community that supports our interconnected web, our need for each other. And so every month on the fourth Saturday of the month, and by the way, next month, the fourth Saturday, we will be ordaining Karen. So it's actually going to be the fifth Saturday in the fifth month of this year. So you all got that. If you show up on the fourth Saturday, it won't be sustainable Saturday night going on here, but there'll be a sign on the door saying, come back next week. Anyways, on the fourth Saturday of most months, we stand together and go forth for a sustainable planet at the corner of Johnson and Forth. And that's one, building community around sustainability. The second is that all of us are tied, even the Prius owners amongst us, and there are a lot of them out there, I know there are. We're really dependent on our cars. Through no fault of our own, we've been born into a world where the car is the extension of the human body. We've evolved to where we are dependent on automobiles, and they are a cancer that is killing this planet. Whether they're mining for the resources or the rubber or the fossil fuels that we're burning up, we're destroying the planet with the cancer known as car culture. And we have to move beyond it, and it's not going to be easy. So I'm working with this congregation, with Moses, with Sierra Club, to try to, and it's hard in this political climate where there are no funds for this kind of thing, but we have to do public transit. We have to get on the bus for justice. We have to come together. And not everybody can own a car, and that's where, when we support public transit, we're supporting equity so that everybody can get to the places we love. And so I ask you all to make a commitment with me to public transit and to sever our connection to the automobile, the personal automobile. Of course, we'll always need some cars and trucks and buses, but we don't all have to have our own one, even if it is a Prius. The second thing that, the third thing that's got my commitment to respond is that in our neighborhood here, probably, most likely, just a stone's throw from where I stand, is the city of Madison has decided to have a public market. And if you'll notice inside your order of service, there's a little flyer about the next Sustainable Saturday Night. By the way, if you don't end up taking one of these flyers home, feel free to leave it on the chair. I'll recycle them and pass them out around the neighborhood later this week. But so don't feel like you should throw this away or recycle it. It's still good. Next week, we're going to talk about the public market and talk about what are the people's vision of a public market might be. Will it be a place where people can find comfort, warmth, food? Will it be welcoming to all? Will there be a view so that we can look out over the lakes and cities? Will there be plenty of room for families and games? Will there be a transit station so that people can get there without bringing more cars? These are all good questions that we're going to raise next week at Sustainable Saturday Night, right here, Saturday night, 6 o'clock potluck. The last thing I want to tell you about is something that's really captured my imagination. The University of Georgetown University, excuse me, has launched a competition. And we Badgers, we love our competitions. And the city of Madison has joined the competition. So there is a prize of $5 million for the community that can show itself to be the most sustainable. And I'm proud that the city of Madison has joined that competition. And I'm hoping that James Reeb will play a role in our city's competition to make personal changes, to push ourselves, to lower our carbon footprints, to burn less gas, to burn less oil, to burn less carbon. And so on that note, I'm going to ask you all to quickly get together with four or six people around you and just share things that you might want to do, ideas you have. And Beth's going to pass around little flyers if you can't think of things, some things to perk your imagination maybe of what this congregation or you can do. And then we'll brainstorm them. And then the PJs will hopefully take this list of ideas and come back to you with ideas that we can all work on together. The PJs, by the way, for those that don't know, is a group of people who are committed to peace, justice, and sustainability, PJS. And that's all I'm going to say. So get into groups, and I'll come around and listen to what you have to say soon.
Okay, I'm going to come around with a microphone. And Joan and Beth are going to scribe for us. This is a brainstorming time. Sorry, it's so great to see everybody wants to keep talking. But we're going to move into sharing and listening.
Hi, I'm Kim. And what my group talked about was how can we reduce our use of this on Sunday mornings? And we have lots of ideas that I think we probably don't have time to talk about. But some of them I think are very interesting. And so I'm going to pursue that as a board member.
Beautiful commitment. Thank you, Kim. So we're just going to write these down, and then we'll come back to you. Anybody else want to go next? This group? Anybody want to speak for this group?
I can speak. We were talking about how dependent on our cars we are, and how for some of us, public transportation, you know, specifically like the bus system, can be scary when you've never done it before, and it's so complex. One part of our group talked about moving to a neighborhood where they can walk to more things as a way to reduce car dependence. So that's a suggestion.
Beautiful.
I'm with this group, and my most important claim or responsibility for Earth Day or any Earth Day is to get along with my corporate landlord, or if you're a homeowner, I guess it would be the bank. So yeah, working with your landlord corporate-wise is important.
Yeah. They're all good people out there. Something Virginia said reminded me of something I want to share quickly on public transit. You know, figuring out the bus system always felt hard to me, and then I discovered Google Maps. Type in where you are, where you want to go, when you want to leave, and it gives you what buses to go on. It's the easiest thing in the world. And a lot of people still don't know about it. I mean, you might all know about it in this room, but some people still don't know how easy it is to use Google Maps. Just, it's the simplest thing. Push the button. You can also find great bike routes and great car routes, but Google Maps, spread the word about Google Maps. It's demystified public transit for me. Anybody else over here ready to go? This group is going to remain silent for a little while. This group want to say anything? Share ideas?
Introduce yourself. Oh, okay. Hi, my name is Devin. I just moved to Madison a couple weeks ago from New Orleans. I was a member of First Unitarian Universalist Church of New Orleans, founded 1838. This is my son, Finley. Our group talked about a few things. I actually worked for Sierra Club in New Orleans. I was a campaigner on a campaign to stop a new proposed coal export terminal there. So I have a pretty good perspective on what we need to do to fight the climate crisis. I'm starting to learn the landscape here. And I think one of the most important things is to remember that in addition to lifestyle changes, we need to change the system that we live in. And that's incredibly challenging work. It's some of the hardest work, and it's work that's going to require us to give up some of our privilege and our comfortableness and some of our ideas about what this world is and how we live in it, and require us to work with people that we're not always used to working with, including people from different diverse socioeconomic backgrounds and different political backgrounds as well. You need to talk to your Republican neighbors, even if you don't agree and vote the same way. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Get that down there. Talk to the Republicans.
So our group talked some about using bicycling or biking more to commute to work, and making a commitment to doing more of that. But there are also situations where the biking is not feasible because you have to travel far enough to work, or using mass transportation isn't so. Carpooling to... Yeah, okay, is it?
It's the speakers that we're close to, I think. Oh, okay. If you come back here and finish.
Okay, so trying to find more options for carpooling for people that have to travel into rural areas is something else we talked about. And One more idea was that families that have two cars, maybe when one of those cars dies, to try to live with just one car instead of replacing it.
Beautiful. Okay.
Read Naomi Klein's book, This Changes Everything, twice.
Thank you, Tom.
So one thing we talked about was congregants helping each other when you have a skill that other people don't. And we talked particularly about gardening, that some people want to start gardens that are novice at it and others could help them. And the other thing is that work with Hannah to bring horse manure to all our gardens.
Yay. Did this group want to go?
I was enjoying just thinking about this whole service and a project I'm working on at Emerson Elementary. There's a plan to kind of reconfigure the whole grounds, bringing in a lot more trees, working on aspects to make it inclusive for kids of all abilities, expanding the kids' garden. And it's a, you know, it's a project that I think that maybe this congregation or groups from this neighborhood could help out with in terms of both just kind of planning aspects and actually the implementation side. I feel like it connects to those ideas of getting kids to love the earth, you know, getting kids connected and, you know, and maybe being able to feel like they can focus more when they're at school to be able to stay engaged. You know, just we're planting 10 trees in the back half of it in May, and then there's plans to put more in the front. So that's just been a project that I feel like has connected with this and might be some things that we could figure out as a community to help with.
Beautiful. Anybody else from this group? Okay. Getting over to the last group, maybe?
And,
okay, something else. Yep, there's always room for something else. But I'm coming back to you.
One of the things we talked about, well, we said solar panels first, looking at potential ways to put solar panels on our building. And then the other thing we talked about was participating. MG&E is going to be having community forums coming up. And I don't know if some of you know, but some of us are MG&E shareholders and have been trying to, you know, kind of bring MG&E to task on what they're doing in terms of sustainability, or and maybe more accurately, what they're not doing and could be doing. And so it would be real important, I think, to have lots of people at those different community meetings expressing how our vision for what our community energy use is like.
Thank you.
Hi, Virginia again. So our group also talked about how the individual things we do are very important, but we're at a point, and I think you guys were already talking about this in the service, we're at a point where bigger impact is also needed, or bigger messaging is needed. And John was saying, you know, write to, you know, the politicians in your district or in our state, and he even suggested that maybe we all get together and buy a state senator.
Ooh, I like it. Anybody else? James?
I've said this a little bit before about solar panels, is that, I mean, they're silicon-based, and it takes a lot of manufacturing to make silicon, including some very nasty acids and so forth that which are used to make them. And it's no surprise that they're made cheapest in China, where they just, you know, dump the acid in the river and nobody cares. So when I lived in Iowa, I said this thing, and I said, windmills are better than solar panels.
Good to think about. Windmills are better than solar panels. Another idea over here.
Should we do one more?
Yeah, one more.
Two more.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback a little bit on what you said there, James. I remember hearing a story on WORT. It was a conversation with, I think it was WORT, anyway, about our electric cars, our Priuses any better to buy than, because of the amount of manufacturing, the energy that goes into manufacturing them, and or are they a way for us to feel good about ourselves because we're doing something that's better, quote unquote, for the planet? So it was an interesting conversation that I caught a bit of. I really, on this list here, would really be interested in this this adult RE class with green face energy conservation. That sounds interesting to me. I haven't made time to get involved in the Enbridge pipeline work that's been happening here. I know Beth and some other folks have been involved, but that's, I think, a really an important issue that if we haven't even publicly as a congregation come out around, it might be an important thing to do. And we also were talking about thrifting, you know, shopping secondhand, because it's a way to reduce, you know, consumption and fight child labor, as Hannah just said under her breath. So.
All right, thank you. One more, and then we'll wrap things up.
Well, we did seriously talk about becoming a green sanctuary, from starting with composting the kitchen until we get to those solar panels.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I have a quick question. I noticed when I was over on that side of the room that I started feeling an ever so slight headache coming in on myself. Is anybody else susceptible to these markers, the permanent or dry erase markers that we're using? Does anybody else feel kind of headachy when you're around those? We might want to look at some of us, you know, out of to be in an effort to be fragrance free, not using the dry erase or permanent markers when we're doing this kind of stuff indoors, or maybe even outdoors. Yeah. So thank you all. That went beautifully. We really appreciate your input, and we will keep these lists and keep working on this. And if you're ever interested in being part of the PJs, which seems to be the group most looking at this stuff now, we meet on the second Monday of every month here at James Reeb at 7 p.m. And could I have a show of hands of people that are PJs that you could talk to about this? There's a few of us out here today. Some of us are traveling today to Regional Assembly. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing and for your inspiration. One of the things PJs has already done and wants to inform you about is supporting Move to Amend. As Naomi Klein argues so forcefully in her 2014 book, This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate, which Tom mentioned we should all read twice, the ideological victory of free market fundamentalism is our major obstacle to making the changes that are necessary to address the climate crisis. The work of revolutionizing our energy economy must also involve ending corporate personhood and creating a democracy in the process. Move to Amend is about ending that corporate personhood, so we invite you to stay after service today to learn more about this proposed congregational resolution that we'll be voting on May 17th at our congregational meeting. I'm going to share a reading now by Lynn Harrison. Committed to respond to the call of a wounded world, we join together this day with loving hearts, hands, and minds, embracing the interconnected web of water, air, and earth. We light a fire of sustaining hope, ever bright with love and justice. May we bring forth this day new wisdom, strength, and courage to create a new world, not of wealth, but well-being. A world of new peace and abundance for all. As we give thanks for this earth, our shared and singular home, may we dedicate ourselves to its ongoing care, rising to the calls deep within us and all around us. May we respond today and always with courage and with love.